Show. Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is Christogenia Saturdays. Today is Saturday, May 30th, 2015. Praise Yahweh, the God of Israel, and thank you for listening. Tonight we're going to do a little something different. Melissa and I have been on the road, so I'm looking for a program format that tends more to discussion rather than to didactic, a didactic sort of presentation or a teaching. And tonight we have the perfect guest for that. We have Mike Delaney of ProThings.org, and we are going to discuss real white nationalism. And I'd like to start off by saying, and I get all the time from white nationalists, criticism, flack, pointed remarks that are really disconnected from, absolutely disconnected from historical reality and from the beliefs of our ancient ancestors and the predecessors of Western civilization. And, of course, they're not all German. A lot of them are Roman and Greek. And, of course, the Romans and Greeks, in the time that the Christian scriptures were created, were much more in touch with Christianity and much more literate. And the Romans and the Greeks who accepted Christianity certainly did not see it as an alien faith. They did not see the people of Judea as aliens in the racial sense whatsoever. In fact, it's very clear from many ancient historical writings that the Judeans and the Greeks were indistinguishable, except for their religious customs, which may or may not have included circumcision at diverse times. The Judeans were a part of white society, where on the other side of the coin, white nationalists attempt to discredit identity Christians by telling us that we want to be the Jews. We want to replace ourselves with the Jews. And when they say that, the first thing they do is acknowledge Jewish supremacy. Of course, the Jews hold supremacy in the world right now through their central banking system and all Western governments. So, of course, real white nationalists should want to replace the Jews because they have infiltrated and subverted our governments. So white nationalists simply don't get that aspect of history. White nationalists love to follow clowns, and I'll call him a clown, and if I could dig him up from the grave, I would call him a clown to his face. Clowns like Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche, his father died of a brain disorder when he was 5. Nietzsche had a mental breakdown at 45, went to an insane asylum, and died at 54. Nietzsche proclaimed, "God is dead." In truth, Nietzsche is dead. Nietzsche never had kids because the only woman that he ever chased was a Freudian psychoanalyst and a whore. She was a Jewish whore. She had a Jewish last name. Her name was Lou Andreas Salom. Salom is a Jewish name. White nationalists, don't you get it? Your hero was a worshiper and a skirt chaser of the Jews. The Übermensch, the idea that man can somehow become God, is an idea which comes straight out. It comes straight out of the Jewish Talmud. The idea that man can become God is a Jewish idea. It's found in the Talmud. It leads to humanism, which is basically the religion of pop culture, and it's Jewish to its core. White nationalists following Friedrich Nietzsche are the ones who are really following the Jews. The Übermensch, the idea that man can become God. Nietzsche also believed in moral relativity. Moral relativity, the idea that moral rules what is moral and what is immoral can change according to your situation. Like today, it's okay to make out with a man because there aren't any women around. That's Nietzsche's moral relativity. Today, it's okay to steal from your brother because you don't have any money. That's Nietzsche's moral relativity. That's Jewish to the core. Those are Jewish ideas. Those are Jewish ideals. No wonder Nietzsche never condemned Friedrich. Nietzsche never condemned the Jews, nor did he ever realize or did he ever admit the treachery of the Jewish role in the history of Europe. Therefore, the white nationalist Übermensch is really only an Übermatze. That's it. Without God, white nationalism makes no difference. Without God, white being white makes no difference. Without God, morality is relative, and therefore, the strongest man in a room creates the morals, and all white men live under tyranny because morality no longer matters. Without God, white nationalism or any nationalism is absolutely pointless. Without God, who cares what happens to the world after you're dead? In a world of evolution and moral relativism, we can imagine that anything goes since there is absolutely no accountability. Without God, we are screwed. We should eat and we should drink because tomorrow we shall die. Hello, Mike. I have Mike Delaney here to join me from ProSync.org and TrueTube.tv to hopefully expand the conversation on this topic.
Oh, yes, we can definitely do that. So I thank you for having me on, Bill. It's been quite a long time since I've been on a podcast or show or what have you, and it feels good. It feels good to be on here. Couldn't think of a better person to be doing a show with than yourself. So, thank you for having me on. I got quite a few things, of course, in this area to talk about because, as many know, I've been under fire a lot of times for, quote-unquote, enforcing my CI beliefs on everybody, which is not the case at all. But, yeah, feels good to be on tonight, Bill. I'm excited.
Well, it's good to have you here. It's... The bottom line is that these secular white nationalists accuse identity Christians of wanting to be Jews when they, in fact, are the ones who consistently follow the Jews. If you really look at what the Jews are all about, if you rip the face of religion, the pretense of religion off of the face of the Jew, because they are only religious in pretense, everything that the Jew... At all of his actions, all of his true professions, all of the philosophical pretenses, the philosophical treatises found in the Talmud, the idea that man could become God, the idea that we can rule ourselves, the idea that morality is relative, the idea that what is moral and what is immoral can change from day to day according to the situation, humanism became the prevalent driving philosophy in Europe after the emancipation of the Jew in the 1800s, and it's been the prevalent driving philosophy ever since. Nietzsche was a humanist who followed in the footsteps of the Talmudic Jews, and he's the one. The humanists are the ones that are mimicking the Jews, and the Christians, true Christians, not Judeo-Christians, because Judeo-Christianity has been infiltrated and usurped for the Jewish purposes by the Jews, and that's a different story. True Christians are the only ones who stand apart from the Jews and who can be true white nationalists.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Bill, there's a couple things I want to bring up here. I think it would be good if I introduce some of the points of these ignorant, and that's what they are, ignorant white nationalists. If they're not ignorant, they have a dog in a fight otherwise. Some of their quote-unquote arguments about why CI is untrue or whatever have you. Because for some that don't pay attention at all to anything that goes around with these anti-Christian so-called white nationalists, which is, as we'll get into the show, you'll find is an oxymoron. But some of these arguments you'll find, I would like to have answered, that we'll both answer, I should say. And then I'll show some of the people on here that are, I'll show that some of my experiences in the past of those who have refused it, and I probably won't name names specifically, and I won't name names also of those who have accepted it after they've done extensive research. But for instance, I've been around the CI now since, I'd say about 2009 is when I figured it out, and I'm not, quote-unquote, extremely well-versed in the CI message. That's why when somebody asked me about it, I usually refer them to Bill and say, if you have specific questions, go to him. I mean, I certainly can answer a lot of the core tenets of it. But now I've known a lot of people over the last 10 years that I've been, quote-unquote, truth-seeking, becoming racially aware, understanding the CI message, and understanding what these rat-faced Jews are all about, right? But one of the things I've seen over and over and over, and Bill and I have seen this in a personal level, even with a couple people are right here in the chat room, is that we've seen where initially there have been people that were genuine and honest, but at first they ridiculed CI. They come, oh, geez, you're just trying to be Jews. Oh, you're just trying to rewrite that. That's a Jewish religion. And, they're doing it out of ignorance, and they're backed up by their peers who for years have pushed this rhetoric in white nationalism that, this is this and that. But you'll find, I've seen this happen over and over, that those that are genuine look into this. Whether it takes them a year or 2 years of just researching, we personally know guys that sat back and didn't do anything and looked at this stuff for a year and came back and said, you know what, you're right. This is true. I was shocked. I used to bash this and used to ridicule it. And I've seen this countless. I'm sure you've seen this as well, Bill. But yeah, that's usually what happens is people that do look at this and research it for themselves come to that. But, you can't come half-cocked. I understand 9/11, you can watch Missing Links, or the Holocaust, the Hall of Hoax, you can read one book or something. I mean, this takes a lot more research to fully understand, to realize what you're looking at, than just going, you're telling me that you're the Jews of the Bible. Now, Bill, some of the arguments, and I'll let you present why these are, false arguments, is one of them is they'll say, the Old Testament, those have to be Jews. Look at how bad they were. There was slavery, and there was this and that. What is your answer to these guys when they say this kind of thing? I know what I say, but I'd like to hear from you.
Well, one, I discussed this with Sven Lobshanks a couple of weeks ago. If you examine the Old Testament, is a book which exemplifies the Aryan spirit. It does not exemplify the Jewish spirit. First, the Old Testament, many of the books, not all of them, many of the books of the Old Testament are written in epic poetry. Epic poetry, the Exodus is an epic poem. Parts of Deuteronomy are an epic poem. Epic poetry is the poetic style of the great original Greek writers, of Homer, of Hesiod, of the men who sung of the Trojan Wars and the great wars of the Greeks, that they were epic poets, and that poetical style belongs to our race. That poetical style has never belonged to the Jew. If you want to see the poetical style of the Jew, which has endured throughout all history, turn on your AM radio or FM radio and listen to rap or listen to this New Age country music, which isn't very much different than rap, like Toby Keith and some of those clowns. They're just singing basically a wider version of rap music, and it's absolutely unpoetical. There's no art to it at all. It's just a little rhythm and a repetition of words that are simple-minded and profane. The Exodus is a beautiful epic poet. The Psalms and the Proverbs in the Bible can be compared to and stand out amongst the most beautiful Greek and Roman elegiac and bucolic poetry. These are works of art, and they are also vehicles of learning, which is always predominated amongst the early tribes of the white race, the early tribes of Europe. And all of the form of the Bible is Aryan in its construction. Now, as for its content, which is different than the construction, right? As for its content, we have always pulled for the underdog. The Aryan spirit has always stood up against the more mighty when it's outnumbered, and the Aryan spirit, the Aryan spirit has always rooted for right when righteousness was on the side of the underdog, when we were outnumbered, when we were overwhelmed. This is the root of all of our heroic poetry, that we would prevail against all odds. When you look at the Exodus story and the content, we have the Hebrew people who are slaves in Egypt. The Hebrew people were white, and the Egyptian Empire was one of the earliest mighty white empires, but they were two different branches of our race, and the Hebrews were underdogs, and the Egyptians had the upper hand and were seen as the inconquerable empire of the time, and the Hebrews prevailed over them. The underdog prevails in the Exodus story. That is a story of the Aryan spirit. The Hebrews invade the land of Canaan. They go up against tribes much bigger and mightier and more well-established than they themselves, who had wandered in the desert for 40 years, who had no manufacturing base, who had no method of manufacturing weapons. And they're going up against these established Canaanite city-states against all odds. And they defeat each of these Canaanite city-states in succession when they are greatly outnumbered. That is a story which reflects the Aryan spirit. It's not a story which reflects the Jewish spirit, and any white nationalist should be able to see that if the Hebrews of the Bible were Jews, they wouldn't have gone up against all odds and risked their very lives to defeat nations much bigger and stronger than they themselves were. They would have What would they have done? They would have infiltrated and fucked the Canaanites out of their land with pencils, with accounting methods, with textbooks. They wouldn't have beat them with swords. That's not the Jewish spirit. Not at all. That's the Aryan spirit. The Bible from cover to cover reflects the Aryan spirit. Look at the Jews today. They're the world's perverts. They're the world's purveyors of immorality, of homosexuality, of pornography. Look at the people of the Hebrew Bible. They stand against, they consistently stand against immorality, homosexuality, perversity. They're against all these things. If the Bible was a Jewish book, it would be an instruction manual of how to deceive the goy through porn. Because that's the Jewish spirit. So the Bible is absolutely contrary to the Jewish spirit.
Absolutely. Now, Bill, one of the other things, and that was well done there, by the way, one of the other things that some of these quasi-Christian white nationalists, and I'm not going to name a few because I'm sure a lot of you know who some of them are because some of them are quite popular there, but some of these quote-unquote Catholic white nationalists and these Orthodox Christian white nationalists, when they're brought the message of CI, their rhetoric they spit back out is, oh, CI is new, as if it's some kind of offshoot of just Protestantism. And what do you say to these people that it's somehow so-called new, it's just some new religion that was formed like Scientology or something?
CI is not new. CI, everything that we profess in Christian identity is 100% in line with classical history and the teachings of the apostles. The historical development of Christianity as we know it did not take its shape and form until the 4th century. For 300 years, the apostles were and their immediate successors were persecuted to death. The first 16 bishops of Rome were all persecuted to death and executed by the Romans. When Christianity became legalized in the 4th century AD, it was a Christianity that had no resemblance at all to the Christianity of the apostles. When you look at the Christianity of Paul, and I could take the letters of Paul to Tarsus and line them up with the classical histories and show you exactly why Paul had taught everything that he taught in relation to the nations of Europe, where the universal Roman Catholic Church was a beast that came along 400 years later, which was formed and formulated in order to perpetuate Roman paganism, which is why the Catholics adopted all the rites of the Roman pagans, and Roman imperialism. The Catholic Church was never Christian from the beginning. The Catholic Church was a group of pagan priests and imperialists who absconded Christianity to use it for their own means, but it was never Christian. True Christianity does not recognize imperialism and does not It is absolutely opposed to statism. Christianity is adverse to statism and to imperialism because over men, only God is king.
Well, exactly.
So the real Christians throughout the 1st and 2nd centuries AD were all killed off, and these imperialist-minded people had replaced the real Christians, and that's where the Catholic Church came from. The Roman Catholic Church is only an extension of Imperial Rome, and it was never, ever the legitimate Christian church.
You know, Bill, a lot of these people out here in white nationalism always talk about keeping together with our white brothers and sisters out here and they talk a good game, right? But and anybody that understands anything is that a collectivist type of mentality is what groups whites together as being a strong force. Now, to me, Christian identity is the ultimate collectivism. I mean, if you look at everything there is, it's the ultimate collectivism. And for every good purpose you could possibly imagine. But like you were saying earlier, this idea that not only the relativism, but the idea that you become your own God, the Übermensch, that right there in itself is exactly what the Jews preach to us. I noticed some of these leftists and libertarians, they push this idea, these ideologies as well, is that we should be very individualistic. And that means politically, religiously, no matter what, just be individualistic. Let them go their own way and do their own thing. And meanwhile, the Jews know better. The Jews know to be very collective with their force. I mean, collectivism is, you know, when these guys, these white nationalists, for instance, say that might is right. Well, you know what? The Jews have might because they stick together and they're all under the same umbrella.
Let me just interject real quick. I'm sorry. That the current situation, and I mean current, I mean not just today, but the last several hundred years in Europe, in England, all the way back to the 1600s, the current situation proves that might is not right because the Jew, through his usury and through his behind-the-scenes treachery and manipulation of white governments, the Jew has been supreme at least since the time of Napoleon and the French Revolution, just about everywhere in Europe, and even longer than that in England. The Jew has been supreme here in America since the Civil War, and especially since 1913. So if might is right, whites have no hope.
Yes, absolutely, because look who has the might right now, right? But one of the things that that I noticed that white nationalists also say is that, you know, like going back to this individualism, as you become your own God, and to me, that that doesn't leave you any kind of spirituality that empowers you to. There's no moral grounds to that. You know, you become your own God. That idea of relativism comes into play there as well, where anything goes. And ultimately, like we were talking before the show, if we were to replace the Jews right now with whites that have that kind of mentality, we're going to have a Jewish society all the same.
The individualism, why does the Jewish media consistently perpetuate individualism and the cult of personality? Well, when I say cult of personality, I mean that the entire cult of creating stars, that the idea of stardom, that the idea of celebrity that the Jews push in their media constantly down the throats of whites, over the last century or century and a half, in their newspapers, in their movies, their constant promotion of Hollywood, that they produce this cult of personality, and they entice whites into listening to these people that basically have no talent or skill whatsoever, no real knowledge whatsoever, except that they could remember a few lines in a script or they could sing a few lines in a song, and they got pretty faces and nice voices.
And that's subjective as well.
Well, right, that's subjective as well. Barbara Streisand is actually a hideous old hag, and she was a hideous young hag. But the Jews prop Barbara Streisand up as a star. She could sing. She really sounds like shit, but she could sing, and because the newspapers say she could sing, all the Americans go out and buy her records because the Jew in the newspaper said that she could sing, and she sounded magnificent. Everybody goes out and buys her records, and they agree. Oh, yeah, she could sing. You know why they agree? Because they don't want to be seen by their peers as stupid when their peers have swallowed the Jew apple. That's why. So everybody thinks that this Jewish whore that can't sing a tune, everybody thinks she has a magnificent voice and she could sing. And then after 20 years of everybody being told she could sing, she becomes an expert at politics. And she's out there telling everybody who to vote for, and all these idiots are following right along. She becomes an expert on morals. She becomes an expert on politics. And she started out as a Jew whore that couldn't sing, and she still can't sing. And I've seen that in my own eyes, in my own family. People thinking Barbara Streisand could sing. Why? Because the newspaper said she could sing? Because the TV show said she could sing? Because some other Jew came on the news and said, oh, she has a magnificent voice. I have a story about artists and what some of the wealthy families in New York and how modern art was rejected until somebody's wealthy Jewish family started supporting it, and all of a sudden this abstract art, which is really vile, this Picasso and stuff like that, it was rejected by art galleries everywhere until it earned the support of certain Jewish families that started backing the idea of this abstract art, and all of a sudden it became wonderful and fascinating and full of meaning. Pablo Picasso's artwork is straight kindergarten trash, but because some Jews like it, all of a sudden it's full of meaning and depth, and it has the secrets of the universe in it, and the painting has become worth $40 million, and it's really just base perversion.
Yeah, it's their idea of art. I mean, they have to excuse it away. You know, when I was in school, they taught you that art was all it was your expression. There wasn't any gauge of good or bad. It was relativism. Art was completely relegated to what relativism is, which they teach as well. So, yeah, it could not be good or bad. It couldn't be beautiful or ugly. It just you know, you can hang a bag of feces and a part of a fetus off a pendant in a bag, and that would be art. And, you know, that's what happens when you have Jews running something. They absolutely destroy it, and, you know, disgusting. They're disgusting people.
Well, that's relativism is a feature of the Jewish mind, and especially when it comes to morals. And Nietzsche was a moral relativist. It's okay to sleep with your brother's wife today because your wife is off working. So you were horny, so I slept with my brother's wife instead. And that's cool because my wife wasn't around. And my brother wasn't around. The poor chump was off working somewhere on his job, on a construction job. And me and his wife got together because it was cool because we were alone, so everything's all right. That's moral relativism. It's never right to do that to your brother. And Christian morals are unshakable. Christian morals are constant. It's not good to be a fag. Fags should die. That's what the Bible says. And that's true today, and it's true tomorrow. And if you can't find your girlfriend next week, but there's three guys around, and it's okay to sleep with one of them because you're horny, well, guess what? You're still a fag, and you should die, according to Christianity. Morals are not relative. Morals are constant. They don't change from day to day. We don't say, okay, today it's okay to be a fag because you're a Boy Scout and you're off in the woods alone, right? No, it's evil. And tomorrow when there's all girls around, it's still evil to be a fag. It's constant. Morality has to be constant. For us to have a stable, healthy society, we need sound Christian morals. Adolf Hitler realized that. And these dumbass white nationalists say, oh, Hitler was only trying to make Christians feel good. No, that's not true. Hitler was trying to assure Christians that they would have security in a moral society, because a society that endures requires Christian morals, and without Christian morals, you have nothing. And Nietzsche was a nihilist. He wanted to do away with God. Why? So that he could do away with morality.
Yeah, I didn't know these points about Nietzsche, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I knew some of the points, I should say, but him with the Jewish broad, and it makes sense. You know, it's like a lot of people like we were saying earlier, that bash Christian identity constantly and refuse to look at it. You know, I think once you realize that Christianity is a genetic issue and not a spiritual, you know, I was saved by Jesus. We save all the niggers of Africa just by praising Jesus, right? I think once people realize it is a genetic thing, I've seen this countless times. There are a lot of people that know that they're polluted, they got mud in the blood, so to speak, will fight against it, but most won't ever bring that up. You know, they won't bring that up as an issue. And, that's usually a lot of times what it is, though. It really is. It's either that, or it is whites who simply can't understand that, or I should say simply want to rebel against this idea that they should have this moral structure. And it's a good moral structure. I mean, it runs the perfect white society. But they don't like that because they have a dog in a fight that says otherwise.
Well, that's one of the points I brought up the other day with Sven Longshanks. If you reject Christian morality, and if you think it's okay to sleep with your brother's wife, if you think it's okay to steal from your brother or kill your brother or kill a fellow white man, right? If you think it's okay to be a sodomite or a homosexual, as they're called today, that's the politically correct term. If you think it's okay to be a sodomite, then you cannot be a true white nationalist. You are not a true white nationalist because you think it's okay to harm other whites. So how could you be a white nationalist? Even if you think it's okay to race mix, because a lot of these secular white nationalists love their skinny little Chinese girls, if you think it's okay to go go sleep with a skinny little Chinese girl, what you're doing is you're diluting your own blood, but you're depriving your own race of future mates in the future. In other words, if you race mix and have six half nigger kids, you're depriving other white families of viable mates for their children. So if you think it's okay to race mix, to be a fag, or any of those things, you cannot be a true white nationalist because you are actually acting contrary to the interest of whites.
Yeah, it's got, race mix has a huge ripple down. I mean, we can just see it in the last two generations of how browned out this the United States has been because of race mixing. You know, as soon as the 60s hippie movement convinced everybody, and then the churches came in and convinced everybody that, you know, we're all God's children and we're all created equal, all these egalitarians and Jews, for that matter, that came out and pushed all this agenda. We could see just two generations later that what the damage has done. You can't go anywhere now with, you know, and find an exclusive white area or an area that's staying white or any of that. You know, a lot of us, we travel around and you go to a place you haven't seen in a few years and you go there, you're like, wow, this place really got darkened up. And that's due to the fact of race mixing. But that has a huge ripple. Even one person race mixing, like I said, they have a couple little nigglets. It's game over for generations. You know, there's a video that was done that I had at YouTube for a while. It's still up. And it explained how it was really good at defining how your grandparents didn't do this, your great-grandparents didn't do this for, you know, thousands of years, generations of your, you know, your ancestry didn't race mix. And all of a sudden you watch a little bit of Jewish boob tube and Talmud vision, and all of a sudden you think it's okay. You know, there's a reason why. You know, it really wasn't because we didn't run into these people in past with exploration and, you know, being out in the sailboats and Viking ships and what have you. It was because our people didn't do that. They knew better. They knew to stick to their tribe. The Jews certainly know this. But, not anymore. It's like open game.
Well, the point is that secularism and white nationalism are not coherent ideas. You can't be that there's no such thing as a secular white nationalist because the term is an oxymoron. The original white nationalists were Christians. They were Christians because they accepted and professed Christian morals. They realized that Christianity was necessary to the continuance of a healthy society. You can't say that this corrupt society that we see in Europe today is a Christian society because Christ has been systematically removed from European society since the 1800s, since the emancipation of the Jews and the rise of secular humanism. You cannot say that America today, as corrupt as it is a Christian society because Christ has been removed from American public life systematically for close to 100 years now. We live in a world of Jewish supremacy, even if we haven't yet realized it. And humanism, the idea that man can become the Ubermatze or Ubermensch, those ideas, the idea that morality is relative, the idea that law can be created by man over other men, that's all humanism, and it is all Jewish in its essence. It's all Talmudic in its essence. And if you embrace somebody like Nietzsche, who basically promotes the ideas of the Jewish Talmud under a different name, you're the one who's embracing Judaism. You're the one who is trying to be the Jew. The original nationalists were Christian nationalists. Nationalism has always belonged to Christians, at least throughout the last 1,500 years. The idea of nationalism has belonged to Christians. It's never belonged to pagans. It's never, ever belonged to people like Nitschke and these secular white nationalists who are white nationalists in name only and really aren't white nationalists at all because they don't have a moral foundation for their white nationalism. If we don't, if you stand against identity Christians, you're basically working on behalf of the Jews, and if you're denying a need for Christian morals, you're also basically working on behalf of the Jews. You're fulfilling and promoting their agenda.
Absolutely. And I understand these guys. They have to ride this all the time. There's a couple people out there I've seen that will say, okay, all forms of Christianity is Jewish except for CI, because CI is, you know, fits the bill for the quote-unquote white nationalists more, right? But I don't understand these guys that want to bash CI all day. Oh, you're just trying to be Jews. And then you're like, you have no understanding of what CI even is. You know, it's they have no research behind it. And then, you know, some of these guys that have been around the movement for a long time, they'll bash it nonstop. And it makes you wonder, well, what's their agenda? That's a big question. What is their agenda? Why are they going to consistently bash it?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, David Duke is a rabbit hole. David Duke has embraced Jewish egalitarianism. How do we know? Because he's proud of all of his Muslim followers. He goes to Mexico and participates in conferences about Mexican immigration. And to me, simply recognizing non-whites as people, you have embraced Jewish egalitarianism, which is another of the ideals of the French Revolution, egalite, liberté, and fraternité, equality, liberty, and fraternity. That is a Jewish ideal, the idea that the other races, the idea that non-whites are people is a Jewish ideal. Now, they try to say that we try to act like Jews because we only esteem whites as people. But to only esteem whites as people is actually natural to the white race. When the United States Constitution was written, the southern states complained about not having enough representation. So the northern states made a compromise that they would respect these Negro animals as 6/10 of a person, for the reason of congressional apportionment, not for any other reason. They weren't trying to make niggers people out of niggers. They weren't trying to do that. They were only counting niggers as 6/10 of a person so that the southern states could have a fairer representation in Congress. But that doesn't mean that niggers are people. They actually showed us that they refuse to acknowledge niggers as people. Niggers are not people. Non-whites are not people. And when David Duke, when he or Don Black or any of these other clowns, when they acknowledge these other races as people, they're basically expressing an agreement with Jewish egalitarianism, and they themselves are demoting the white race to the level of just another minority. And now David Duke has become, I like to call him, Al Sharpton in blackface. How is he different from Al Sharpton? Al Sharpton in whiteface.
Yeah, I would say Al Sharpton is probably better off than Duke is, because Al Sharpton is not going to stand up for any of the other races. He's strictly for his own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
David Duke is even lower than Al Sharpton on the human food chain, and he's put himself there. And in truth, true white nationalists and true identity Christians should not, and traditionally have not, respected the other races as people. They've demoted them, or they perceive them to be where they belong. They are only beasts. The other races, the non-whites, are only beasts. And when we let them into our lands, they devour our substance. Now, if we respect them as people and we want to confer with them, like David Duke has done, and we want to make agreements with them, we put them on a level of people when we should never do that. We should only treat them as beasts because that's what they are. And that's the biblical view that our ancestors had of the other races until the Jesuits, who were mostly Jewish infiltrators into the Roman Catholic Church, the Jesuits came up with the idea that we're going to go to these other races of people, and this is back in the 12, 13, 14, 1500s, that this Jewish idea started to creep into Roman Catholicism, and the Jesuits put it into action and began to convert these non-whites into Christians so that they could control them. And that was Catholic imperialism extending itself beyond the white world. And that has become the norm in all these Christian religions, but it's not a Christian ideal. It's not Christian at all to try to take a nigger and turn him into an American, or to try to take a Chinaman and turn him into a German. It's not Christian. True Christianity rejects that idea.
Right, yeah, you can't go save the niggers because they praise Jesus. The niggers love that, though, don't they?
Well, yeah, and David Duke and these other, Don Black and these other idiots, that Jared Taylor is another one, he's embraced Jews. Yet you can't say anything bad about Jewish people in front of Jared Taylor. You can't say anything bad about Jews at the so-called Council of Conservative Citizens. These people claim to be white nationalists, and they're not white nationalists at all. They've embraced Jews, and they embrace people of the non-white races that they consider people, because they shouldn't, that they embrace them when they agree with their conservative principles, like this David Manning character that they're always promoting. And that gives us the mistaken impression that niggers can be people. And niggers can't be people. Non-whites cannot be people because they're animals. And they should be sent back to the trees they came from with the assistance of some ropes. I'm getting a little radical. That they should be sent back to the jungles they came from.
Yeah, there's quite a few groups out there that promote Jewish degeneracy. You got Countercurrents over there, which they're a bunch of faggots. I mean, I've even seen this. I had no idea that this chick on Facebook, which I guess she claims she's been a white nationalist for a couple of decades, and she's open lesbian. Like these open, and people associate with this. I immediately was like, are you kidding me? Who honors these people, you know, to be a dyke, to be a faggot? Where was the other one? Oh, this site Arianism. They're the experts on what Arianism is. But even a nigger can be an Aryan, according to them, right? So, yeah, it's the one pathetic wench out there that pushes the black Nazi stuff all the time. It's Veronica Clark. She loves to push this idea that Hitler gave this artificial speech he apparently dug up that 7 billion other people on the planet didn't know about, and that Hitler's last will and testament, where he denounced race altogether. We should all kumbaya and race mix, and being Aryan is a spiritual thing. She's doing exactly what Jews did to Christianity. Exactly. She's promoting relativism, multiculturalism, egalitarianism, you name it, Judaism, all in the name of Hitler. And it's, and luckily, people just look at it. They look at it from a very polarized fence, you know what I mean? Either they know better, Hitler was, you know, a guy fighting on our side, so and so, or you get the other side of the fence, they're not even pro-Hitler no matter what anyway, so they're not trying to hear what she has to say. So luckily there's nothing that catches fire on that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it does, you know, and the way people are nowadays, it's all about compromise. It's, someone said in the chat room earlier here about the issue of discipline, you know, they don't understand that you have to, you know, like you said, oh, it might be a little radical. I don't consider holding to the truth 100%.
and not bending on it, being radical. You know, the compromise of our DNA is the reason where we're at. We're at now. So, yeah.
Well, without doubt, all compromise comes from the weakness of man. That there are many things that we should never compromise upon, and what is white is one of them. And I explained. I did my best to explain how we determine what is white with Sven Longshanks last week. I don't know if I should repeat that here or not, but what is moral and what is immoral is certainly even more important, because people that are moral people and maintain those morals, maintain that solid moral foundation that every sustainable society requires in order to maintain itself. If people embrace that moral foundation, we don't have to worry about whether or not they're quote unquote pure or whether or not there's something in a woodpile. If they maintain that foundation of Christian morality, they won't violate or do anything that's going to harm other whites. And it's that simple. And that's the best way to determine who is truly on the side of whites and who is not.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, did we say we're going to take some calls in get somebody to interject on some of these issues if anybody wanted to call in?
Yeah, we'll take some calls. I'll take some calls from recognized people if you want. I'm not going to take any calls from guests because they always turn out to be trolls.
Yeah.
But yes, we will take calls. I know there's somebody from Florida on the line, and I know already that they're a troll. I'm going to perhaps repeat a few of the things that I said on my program with Sven Longshanks last week on the Christogenia Europe program concerning what is white and concerning race. And I'm going to start out with what I said about race, because this is really important, because we have these so-called white nationalists who and it's been a trend now, as far as I could see, for maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, who tend to embrace, say, Muslims, because Muslims don't like Jews. And the enemy of my enemy is not my friend. If you actually look at what's going on in the world today, while the Jews appear to be beating up on the Muslims, they're flooding white nations with Muslims. And the Jews are telling white Christians, or white people in general, that we have to hate those Muslims over in the Middle East, but you can't hate those Muslims that we bring in to your town. Now I don't get why white nationalists don't see that trick, but instead you got clowns like David Duke out there embracing Muslims because Muslims are anti-Jewish. Muslims aren't anti-Jewish. Muslims are just Jews with a different color underwear. Muslims are no better than Jews, and they'll slit white throats in the name of Allah tomorrow if they could. They would kill you and rape your wife tomorrow if they had the opportunity to do so. So we're told to hate Muslims overseas, but we're told that we have to accept them in our own white nations. Any white man who's embracing Muslims, like David Duke is, should be taken out and skinned alive. He should be that. I can't say enough. I can't cuss enough to make me happy about David Duke because he's doing that.
You know, Bill, you bring a great point up, is that people, it depends if they're more leftist white nationalists or they're more conservative white nationalists. And I hate to see that people in white nationalists still kind of bend towards one or the other, but they do. You have two different types of scenarios. I see a lot of white nationalists that they're going to open the door for the Jews and Muslims.
If they're more of a conservative rightist type, they are more susceptible to letting the Jews in the door. If they're more of a leftist, like your Rents, your David Dukes, they let the Muslims in the door, right? Because what they do is they find this commonality in them that, they agree with me on this side. For those that are strictly against Negro invasions of Europe, I see that a lot of people, perfect incident, the English Defense League in Britain, right? They automatically, because they're getting tired of the Muslim hordes, the Negro hordes, I don't even like calling them Muslims, I just like calling them poopskins, right? Because that's what they are. I don't care what religion they follow, because if it's white people that follow Muslims, they're still my brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to kick them out. But if they're Negroes and mestizos and Indians and whatever have you that's flooding Europe and this country, of course, the United States, but they leave themselves open for that, right? Because the Jews will play the nationalist to a degree. They'll play the quasi-nationalist. And so you got groups like the EDL. I mean, Jerry Taylor plays that, right? He plays the quasi-nationalist. And then you'll have some that are more leftist mind. Oh, well, the Muslims. And I played into that myself because I came up through the 9/11 scene and, you know, vindicating Muslims with missing links and then going, well, they have an enemy in the Jew just like I do. I had knew long before this, but it was funny. I had ran into a group of Muslims a little while back, and it was a group I gave missing links to when I first came out. So this is a couple of years now later. They remembered the film, and I was telling an individual who actually in the chat room this the other day. I said, you wouldn't believe what these guys said. I said, look, I'm not for your cause. I'm not trying to be your friend. I'm glad you like Missing Links and all, but why do you guys keep flooding Europe? he says, what do you mean? I said, that's for the European people, just like the United States was a conglomeration of European people. And the guy was a physician. He was actually a doctor, this Muslim doctor. And he literally sat there to my face and told me that there's no such thing as race, and that if you and I died 6 months later after our bodies decayed, we would not be able to tell the difference. Complete BS. I mean, even an idiot that watches the YouTube with the Science Channel or whatever they have on there, I haven't watched TV in years, so I don't know, but the History Channel or Discovery, I guess, what it would be. Anybody with basic knowledge knows that archaeology could dig up some bones and find out exactly their DNA, their bone structure is different. I mean, these are huge telltale signs of what race they are. And this Muslim turdskin wanted to let me know that we wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So that's their religion. You know, that's what their religion teaches, is that they're egalitarians. Yes, they might be against Jews to a certain degree. But even they themselves have become soft because they have jumped the bandwagon of quote unquote being anti-Zionist and letting Jews in their ranks because it's just Zionism they're fighting. Even though that their so-called Quran, right, their so-called religious book says from hundreds of years before Zionism was created that their Jews would be their enemies and there'd be a Jew hiding around the tree and a tree would say this and this and that and tell where the Jew was. But now it's just Zionism, you know, and that's because They're Jews. They're in bed with the Jews anyway, so however you say it. But that's what you have white nationalists leaning towards or being susceptible to. You have them on the left, like David Duke, warming up to them and saying, oh, you know, oy vey, the Muslims have I have a friend in you. And then you have and Sven, I've talked to Sven about this too. You know, you have a lot of these people in Britain, because Britain just it seems like one of the worst countries in Europe, getting hammered for immigration. God forbid the people that got to deal with them right in London there, but they tend to be more nationalist, but then they have these Jews that come out and say, yeah, we'll be nationalist, but only against these Muslims. Not again, you know, if they're perfectly fine if a group of faggots, pedophiles, Paki, atheists, India, Hindus, Jews themselves, they're completely fine with all that. They just fight the Muslim stuff. So they polarize this stuff. Same thing they do over here with the Tea Party, you know. And it's disgusting to see that, but that's what that's just adding on to the point of what you're saying there. You can't warm up to these groups. It's white, and that's what's right, and that's the only way to stay.
Well, this Islamic so-called religion was created by Jews. It was created by Jews in the very early 7th century AD, and the Jews created it for the reason that they could militarize, they could radicalize these Arab bastards and use them as an army by which to destroy the Christian empire, which had excluded the Jews from being able to act like Jews, from being able to control Christians in Europe. In the 5th and 6th centuries, as Europe became Christian in the nature of its government, Jews were excluded from European society. The Jews that were excluded went to two places primarily. They went to Saudi Arabia and they went to Khazaria. They converted the Khazars to Judaism and used the Khazars first as a trading empire for 300 years, and then after they wore out the Khazar blood and it was no longer white, they took these Turks that had come into the Khazarian Empire and they militarized these Turks and used them in order to invade and destroy the Byzantine Empire. At the same time, the Jews in Saudi Arabia, Jews, Muhammad was a Jew, he was related to Jews, he had Jewish scribes, formulated this religion of Islam, which is a straight made-up bullshit religion, which is from Jewish apocryphal literature, Hebrew apocryphal literature, and Old Testament scriptures. It was completely fabricated, and they radicalized, through this new religion, the Arab bastards of the Arabian Peninsula and used them to conquer what was at one time, at that time, Byzantine, Roman, North Africa, and the Vandals were, of course, there too, but they had been reconquered by the Byzantines. They destroyed white North Africa, and after they destroyed white North Africa, they crossed into Iberia and what we know today as Spain and Portugal, and they destroyed Spain and Portugal, and Jews were behind it. And there are books, there are voluminous books proving this beyond all doubt. Jews were behind the Khazar Empire and the Turkish invasions of Eastern Europe. Jews were behind the Arabs and the Muslim invasions of white North Africa and Western Europe. And they would have had France and Germany if it wasn't for the Christian Charles Martel. So these Arab bastards and these Turkic bastards, these Mongol Turkic bastards, have been used by the Jews as a device in the destruction, in their desired destruction of Christendom for 1,500 years. This has been going on. And this game we see played out in Palestine is only the most recent manifestation of the Jewish use of these Arabs against Christians. Now, as for this Zionism being a problem, Zionism is not the problem. Jews are the problem, and the proof of that is evident in history. Obviously, white nationalists don't know a damn thing about history. We've had a Jewish problem for thousands of years. The Jews have had different names during those thousands of years. However, in recent history, in the last, and let's go from maybe 600 AD until 1800 AD. The Jews were thrown out of 200 different principalities in Europe for ritual murder, for looting and pillaging and raping the local populace with their porn and their vice and their prostitution and everything Jews do, their usury. They've been driven out of every principality in Europe at least once over the last thousand years. We've had a Jewish problem long before the word Zionist ever came into the language.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, like I said, Zionism wasn't created until the late 1800s, and Jews were long a problem before that.
Absolutely. That they were thrown out, that the Jews were the target of wrath in the First Crusade. When the German armies, the Crusader armies, went to Frankfurt and destroyed the Jews of Frankfurt. And that was 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
that that happened, or maybe 800 years ago, and they've been run out of every single principality in Europe long before that there was ever a Zionism, or Zionism, if I have to say it that way, so that people that don't know me can understand it. Long before there was a Zionism, there was a Jewish problem. So this idea that Jews are good, but Zionist Jews are bad, this is just another trick to dupe people that should be white nationalists, that should be true white nationalists, but instead they're just anti-Zionist because they don't know a damn thing about medieval history and the treachery of the Jews in Europe for thousands of years.
Yeah, now what I learned early on in the anti-Zionist movement, if you will, was that most of them, for the biggest part, were anti-white still. They were completely anti-white in the sense that they were completely happy with this idea that, okay, the Ashkenazi Jews were just white people wearing yarmulkes and that the true Jews were turd-skinned brown people or black people, different variations, right? But that was it was always the undergoing theme in anti-Zionism, is that it was still evil white people doing the bidding under the name of Jews. So all the people that are over there in that land of Israel are actually just white people. And that's what you get in the anti-Zionist movement, which is nothing but a Jewish-controlled honeypot, once again.
Well, none of these so-called white nationalists ever really read classical history. If you read classical history, you would realize that the original inhabitants of Judea were white people. The original Syrians were white people. The original Egyptians were white people. If you get that, the average white nationalist will admit that the Egyptians, the great Egyptian empire and the great civilization of ancient Egypt were white, and they'll be proud of that. And the average white nationalist will admit that the original civilization of ancient India was white, and they'll be proud of that. And the same thing with Persia. That even though nothing but brown skin, mud, sand niggers live there today, they'll admit that the ancient Persians were white, and they'll be proud of that. But then when you tell them that the ancient Hebrews were white, they want to argue with you over why God would put white people in the desert.
Yeah, it's the big lie, right? It's the biggest lie out there.
It's absolutely insane. And if you want to know why God would put white people in a hot climate, just come to Florida. There's all kinds of white people sprawled all over the beaches, and it's 100 freaking degrees out. White people love sand in the summertime. So the whole argument that white nationalists have is absolute nonsense that they probably got from some Jew. It's Panama City Beach is living proof that white people love sand in 100 degree weather.
Hey, Yuma, Arizona is proof of that. Yuma, there's not even water or beaches there. Nothing. It's 120 degrees in the summer, but they love it there. Just for the simple fact it's dry and that arthritis and stuff it does a lot better off in those hot, dry climates. But, yeah, the whites love hot weather. You know, if it wasn't for the Negro problem in the Caribbean and the Dominican Republic and Haiti, there'd probably be a hell of a lot more white people down there. But, you know, thanks to white flight and Negro fatigue, Jamaica as well, Cuba, you know, all these Caribbean and tropical Bahamian islands are just overrun with Negroes now.
Well, what was absolute proof that 2,000 years ago, Palestine and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, what we know today as Saudi Arabia, were absolute paradise, that they were lands that were able to support flocks that fed millions of people at that time, and we may not be able to understand that today, but it's even proof that there's enough proof on the internet that 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, there was a river that crossed Saudi Arabia from what we know today as the mountains along the Dead Sea all the way across Saudi Arabia to modern Bahrain, there was a river where Kuwait is. There was a river, and that was very lush pasture land. And the Romans called it Felix Arabia, and the word Felix in Latin means happy. The Romans called it Happy Arabia. Sometimes it's interpreted as Blessed Arabia, because in Roman times, even though it was a warm climate and it was tropical, it was nevertheless a very lush and fruitful climate. And it was excellent pasture land for huge flocks of people and for huge flocks of animals, for large numbers of people to subsist on. So it wasn't always, even though it was called the desert, it was called the desert in the sense that it wasn't inhabited, but it wasn't the sand pit hellhole that it is today. It was a lot more amenable to life and to what sustains life. So there's the white nationalists have so many problems in their profession and so many conflicts because they simply don't study and they don't understand classical history. They don't read their own heritage. They don't read the documents of their own heritage, Homer and the Greek and Roman historians and all of the things that they could learn to understand that the Hebrews were a white people and that was our culture and our civilization that the Jews infiltrated, usurped, perverted, and destroyed thousands of years ago. And today they're doing the same thing in Europe and America, and they understand how the Jews are infiltrating and destroying Europe and America today. If they only understood classical history, they would be able to see the pattern and that the Jews, they had different names 3,000 years ago, but it was the same people behind the destruction of ancient white civilizations for the same reasons and by the same methods.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand why white nationalists can't simply open up some ancient classical history books and see that.
Oh, that would require work.
One line from an ancient history book, Strabo mentioned that the Syrians of Cappadocia, which is roughly equivalent with the easternmost part of Turkey today, Strabo said that he didn't understand why they called them white Syrians as if they were black ones. In other words, to Strabo, the Greek geographer of the first century BC, all the Syrians were white. He thought they were all white, and they were. But they called one particular group that lived in the northernmost regions of Syria white Syrians. And he couldn't understand why, because all the Syrians were white.
Well, Bill, if you look at genetically speaking right now, you look at Iran, you look at Syria, you look at these places even today, over 2,000 years ago, they have a lot of white genetics in them. You know, like we were saying, is the word Arab means mixed, right? So if you look at these people, what genetic makeup came from, they have a lot of white makeup in them. And it just goes to show, like if you look at Syria, if you look around, there still looks like a lot of white people live there. Same with even Lebanon. You know, it looks like a lot of white people live there. And they go, well, those aren't white. Those are Arab or they're Persian or whatever. No, there's still the genetics left from thousands of years ago where white people were miscegenated on. You know, you go to the island of Sicily, for instance, and you notice that people are darker there. You know, a lot of people still will consider them European, but a lot of them are mixed. You know, they were overcome. But same with Spain and Portugal and what have you. But that's the idea, is that you look around, northern India and even Pakistan, they have small tribes of white people that still live there. It's the same thing. If you can imagine the overrunning that we have going on today, and obviously on a much larger scale, thanks to what I think Irving said, thanks to the jet plane, you know, that really did the damage. But it wasn't the jet plane. It was whites that bend to the Jew.
that is essentially what we have going on today that we had going on back then. Miscegenation, just on a smaller scale, but it's still 2,000 years. Like I said, that ripple makes a big ripple. You know, how many, what, a billion at least of Arabs in the Middle East? And there was probably, what, who knows how many white people that actually lived in the Middle East that were, you know, full-blooded whites, not, you know, mixed Arabs.
Well, there are, right, there aren't too many whites left in Sicily. There aren't too many whites left in Portugal. That there probably aren't too many whites left in southern Spain, but I haven't been there. That the that there certainly aren't too many whites left in Greece, and fewer and fewer in the Balkans. But the bottom line is this: that those areas became miscegenated not under Christianity. Those areas became miscegenated under Islam. When the Arabs ruled those areas, it was the Arabs, and the same thing in North Africa. In Roman times, and up until the 6th century A.D., North Africa was 100% white. Yeah, we had our Canaanites. We had our Canaanites. We always had them in the Mediterranean and in other places where the Canaanites had been able to infiltrate with their trade. And it's the Canaanites who are the real ancestors of the Jews of today. They've always been around, but North Africa was 100% white until the 6th century AD. Now, Egypt has a slightly different history because Egypt was invaded by Nubians 600 years before Christ. They were invaded by Nubians in the 7th century BC. And that was when white Egypt began to decline and mixed race Egypt began to ascend until the Greeks came, and the Greeks moved into Egypt and marginalized the native Egyptians, that they marginalized them and sought to replace them. And the Greeks that in Egypt, the Ptolemies, had embraced Egyptian culture, and they were basically Greeks playing at being Egyptians while they marginalized the mixed race Egyptians. So the Greece of the Egypt of Antony and Cleopatra and of Roman times, that and Alexandria, that was Greek Egypt. That was not Egyptian Egypt, so to speak. So that has a more complex history. But what we know today is Libya and Mauritania and Algeria. The Jews got into Algeria early on in the 5th and 6th centuries and corrupted it, but they were white areas and they were entirely white, and there are remnants of whites there today in Libya, that there's no doubt, and there are pages to that effect on white Moors, people in Mauritania today who are still white, and they live in poverty, and they're basically outcasts from the society there because the society is an Arab society. But these Muslims, when they conquered North Africa, in the Islamic religion, you are not permitted to distinguish between races. There's no racism officially in Islam, and they seek to homogenize all races into one brown milkshake, so to speak, into one brown blob. So they were importing sub-Saharan Africans as slave labor into North Africa and Southern Europe, and at the same time, they were kidnapping Europeans. For 1,000 years, they kidnapped Europeans and brought them to Africa and used them for slave labor. So all of those mixed-race Arab people of the Mediterranean are the result of Islam. They're the result of the Islamic supremacy in the Mediterranean, which lasted from the 600s until the 1500s. When the merchants of Naples and Venice finally were able to defeat them, and they were defeated not because Europeans wanted to defend their race. They were defeated ultimately because the merchants of Italy wanted to prevail over them. So they weren't even beaten for noble causes.
Right.
So that's why all that race mixing in Southern Europe
and in North Africa. That's why we have all those Arab peoples today. That's why Sicily is basically an Arab land today, even though it's European in name and it's European for the most part in culture. It's still an Arab land. Southern Spain, Portugal, the same thing. Most of the people there are now Arabs because of the Islamic presence, because of the Arab presence in those lands for long periods of time in the Middle Ages, not because that they're an original Mediterranean race, and not because they voluntarily race mixed, but because they were conquered by these Arabs who purposely race mixed. It's their policy that everybody mingle together, that there's no national or racial boundaries. It's prohibited in their Islamic religion, where Christianity, real Christianity, recognizes that it's God. It's God that establishes the boundaries of nations, and Christians should seek to maintain and respect those boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if you have anything to add to this. I just want to say that Christianity, and especially identity Christianity, is the real basis for white nationalism. Secular white nationalists have no moral foundation for their racism, and they have no moral or philosophical foundation upon which they can defend what is white and why it's important to maintain that whiteness. They have no foundation for that whatsoever, especially if they're Nietzschean evolutionists and morality is relative. How could they defend what is white? They can't. They don't have a leg to stand on. This idea of becoming an Übermensch, of man becoming God, it is a product of the Talmud. It's thousands of years old. It's a Jewish ideal that man can somehow be his own God. And it is not at all amenable to the foundation of a truly durable, lasting society. Not by any means.
Yeah, I've had arguments, Bill, with people that have tried to put this relativism on as a staple, and usually what you find is, you know, you get to the point where you're like, okay, well, there's nothing as good as bad or good or evil. You know, they hate the word evil and good because that there shouldn't be a definition of that, right? And I say, well, okay, well, you know, you get to the point where pedophilia, what is that? Is that just normal? Is that just somebody else's different lifestyle? Oh, it is acceptable then. I said, You're pushing exactly what the Jews want to push. You know, that's the same thing they've done with art, you know, like we were saying earlier. And it just doesn't fly. You don't have a structure then. That's the big thing here, is you do not have a structure laid out for thousands of years that has worked for us when we follow it, when we accept it, other than what we have here on the table.
Well, right. Christianity works. Christianity has been proven to work, and it was only because modernist and scientific and logical Christians had forsaken Christianity and embraced Jewish humanism, egalitarianism, and libertarianism, that's the only reason why Christianity has failed, is because it's been destroyed from the inside out, because we've accepted the Jews in society. We began accepting the Jews in society with the emancipation of the Jews after the French Revolution, and from that period, we've disregarded our Christian fundamentals, we've disregarded our Christian ideals, and as a European race, we've embraced Jewish ideals. And that's why Christianity has failed us as an institution. But institutionalized Christianity is not truly Christianity, and Christianity itself is not to blame, because true Christianity would never accept anything Jewish, and true Christianity is the only historically proven antithesis to Judaism.
Well said. Definitely well said there.
Okay, Mike, I guess we probably had enough here. and I don't see any callers that there probably no white nationalists want to talk to us. No secular white nationalists anyway.
Right.
But this podcast will be online and they can answer it if they want. And if they're still embracing Friedrich Nietzsche, they are the wannabe Jews, not identity Christians. White nationalists that embrace Friedrich Nietzsche, they are the wannabe Jews, the Ubermatzes. That's what I'm going to start calling them. Thanks for joining me, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Okay, I'll have some music here as soon as I get my my review.